You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 at WOBMAM.com.
Hawk fans, never too late to start thinking about next season football-wise or this year's basketball year. For information on Monmouth tickets, go to MonmouthHawks.com. Full ticket packages still available right now on the basketball side of things. And what we will talk about next week on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, we'll preview the schedule next year. So for ticket information on both Monmouth football and Monmouth men's and women's basketball, go to our website at MonmouthHawks.com.
You can also give 732-263-5735 a phone call. Talk to our guy Tony, oversees that operation in the athletics department. Season tickets still available in the middle of, obviously, this basketball tournament that is being hosted at the MAC this weekend, the CBE Hall of Fame Classic.
First quarter in the books, second quarter about set to start. Monmouth has it fourth down and long, and the Hawks will swap ends, defend the end zone off to our right, and a noticeable switch is they will have to deal with the wind for the next 15 minutes. Ryan Moore will have to be the first one who tackles that, coming on to punt this one away. J.J. Hubbard going back deep. He'll stand at his own 14-yard line. Hawks leading 10-0. Cheney with a touchdown, 30-yard field goal from Lucas Santangelo. Not the scoring so far of the day for MU. Moore will step into it around his own 40-yard line. Good snap, mild pressure. Moore hangs one up that just dies in the wind. Hubbard comes forward to field it, and as he slides forward around the 24, it'll be first down and 10 for Gardner-Webb. So maybe now we'll get a real read on this Gardner-Webb offense and just how talented their quarterback Beatty is along with Kenny Cook. They will have the wind at their backs for the next 15 minutes.
Saw them connect a couple of times in that first quarter, and now we'll see what they look to do. Again, not a team that's going to run the football a whole bunch. And with kind of that wind-aided quarter that they'll now have, you look for them to maybe run as many plays as they can. But with that said, I thought Monmouth would do that at the end of the first quarter. Wasn't the case. The running Bulldogs will come out and spread them out.
Beatty, 5 of 6, 38 yards so far in that first quarter. Now on first and 10 from their own 24-yard line. Inside carry will go for a blunt. Tries to bounce it outside, and he is snowed under by the Monmouth defense. Eric Masick, the first man on the scene for MU. Masick back after missing a week ago against Coastal Carolina. 4-yard loss, 2nd and 14.
Also, Matt, not Beatty that comes out and is in the shotgun now. They're going to Tyrell Maxwell instead, more of a dual threat quarterback.
Maxwell, 6'2", 201. He is a true freshman from Cordova, South Carolina. We'll give you his numbers after this second down play. 2nd and 14. Option this time for Maxwell. He will run up the middle and get close to the 29-yard line. Gain 9. Maxwell on the year, 11 of 34 for 77 yards. Intercepted 4 times on the year, but he is a good runner, second leading runner on the team, 224 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So here we see kind of a shift in what Gardner-Webb wants to do, as this more of a spread option attack with Maxwell in the gun.
3 receiver check it, 4 receiver set, as number 80, Jacob Henderson, also a true freshman, has come on out as the 4th wideout. Maxwell has played in all 11 games. We thought we might see him, but with the wind, I would have thought they would have went with the throwing quarterback. Maxwell here will tuck it in, run, get upfield, and get a first down out over the 40 to the 42-yard line. And conventional wisdom has just kind of been thrown out. Monmouth had it late first quarter, didn't throw it. And now with the wind, the throwing quarterback has left the game for Gardner-Webb, and the runner has come in.
Can you say that you've thrown it into the wind, and then who knows where it's going to end up with how windy it is today? I'm with you. I would have thought you see Beatty come out, whip it around a little bit, and they will sub in now, so he'll come back in. But Maxwell looked good in those couple of plays. He's going to be a handful for these Big South teams the next couple of years, and it looks as though that offense will go over some kind of makeover and shift into more ground-based. But Beatty back in.
Cranville tight end off to the right. 2 receivers set, 1 either way. Give here is back up the middle for Hubbard. He is stuffed after a gain of only about a yard to the 43-yard line off the bottom of the pile for the Hawks. Demetrius Smith, Tyler Thompson. 2nd and 9 coming in. 2.5 minutes gone by here in the second quarter. It's Monmouth leading 10-0. Final day of the regular season here in the college football year for both of these teams. 4 wide receiver set again here for Beatty. 2 either way. Hubbard the single back goes to the left. Gets the shotgun snap. Beatty in trouble and will get sacked. Drop back behind the line of scrimmage. The pass rush has been spectacular so far today for Monmouth. Leslie and Masick both involved there for MU.
Yeah, Masick from his tackle spot. Leslie, the player that came crashing down from his end position. So Beatty, I think, thought he had time to step up into the pocket, and it collapsed quickly. A nice zone look on the back end as well. Had no receivers open.
Both tight ends into the game, both in stand-up positions as slot men right now. Cranville to the right, Estes to the left. Receivers either way, Swinton and Cook now on third down and about 12. Here comes Monmouth again with pressure. Again, Beatty's in trouble, and again he will get dropped pretty quick. Joe Johnson blitzed off the corner. Beatty saw that, tried to step up into the pocket, and ran right into Pat O'Hara, who will make the stop for no gain, and the punt team coming back on here for Gardner-Webb.
Yeah, Basile also brought some heat from his safety position as he came from the other side of the formation. So that was a nice dial-up there by Coach Bobick and company to quickly end that Gardner-Webb drive after Maxwell gave it some promise with a running first down.
Komornik on to punt it again. He has been busy. Monmouth looking like they might bring pressure up the middle. Dumas standing around his own 23-yard line. Long snap, mild pressure will come. High hanging punt, great hang time. Dumas will field it inside his own 10 and get dropped around the 5-yard line. May have been better off served letting that one go up over the top of his head. Calvin Smith running down in coverage to make the tackle.
Yeah, I don't think there's a question about that. Nice catch by Kamau, but it's not a catch he has to make. Let that one drop. Let that one go into the end zone. If that's going to die in the 5-yard line, you take your chances. You gamble in that instance, but nice coverage by Gardner-Webb. They now, Matt, will put Monmouth inside their own 5-yard line, moving into that win. So for the Bulldogs, the running Bulldogs, it worked out very well, but that's a play that Dumas just has to let go. Don't catch it once you backpedaled into that 10-yard line.
Timeout has been taken on the field. TV timeout. We'll keep it right here. Want to wish congratulations to the Monmouth men's soccer program, who qualified for the NCAA tournament this year, getting the automatic bid, winning the MAC championship a weekend ago, and played a hard-fought game this past week, Thursday, down in out in Cincinnati, Ohio, against nationally ranked Xavier. Lost in double overtime to the Musketeers 2-1, but a great year again for Rob McCourt, Hugh McDonald, the rest of the coaching staff, and players who battled injuries all during the course of the year. But great fall season so far for all of the teams. Field hockey making the NCAA tournament. Men's soccer making the NCAA tournament. Women's soccer winning the league championship during the course of the regular season. And with a win here today, football finishes with a regular season, not to mention, again, successful years for the men's and women's cross-country programs.
Yeah, good fall here in West Long Branch, which, as the calendar turns, transitions into winter time. But you said it, a lot of championships on the board, a lot of rings to be purchased and banners to be hung after a really, really successful fall. And the hope is that the men's and women's basketball programs can continue a run of that success as well this winter in the MAC.
And dare I say, next year we'll be talking about swimming on campus, on both the men's and women's side. The university making that announcement a couple weeks ago at the Hall of Fame informally, but a formal announcement was just posted on the Monmouth website, the newest sport, which will get right up and going next year. It's a sport that kind of starts in the fall and rolls all the way through the winter. So next fall on campus, that pool downstairs will be much, much busier.
Yeah, the men's and women's swimming will be added. It's going to continue a legacy. The swimming programs back in the day here were incredibly successful. Championships, an Olympian came out of the program. So it'll be a return to that. And it's a core sport for the MAC. So it's a sport that every other school in the league sponsors that Monmouth will now join.
Hawks coming back on here. Their opening possession in the second quarter. Give is to LaVon Cheney off on the left side. Cheney will get forward, get to the 8. That's a gain of about 3. Make it second down and 7. Stopped by Higgins on the tackle. Aziz Higgins, the junior linebacker from Snellville, Georgia. Obviously, with the school being located in North Carolina, heavy contingent of the southeastern schools dot the roster for Gardner-Webb. Hill now on second down and 7. We'll give it to Cheney this time off the right side. He's dropped for a loss in the backfield. Cheney's having a rough go of things so far today.
Jenkins.
Tyler Huff Jenkins, the redshirt senior defensive end, with the stop. It'll force Monmouth after a loss and two and a third down and nine.
Yeah, third and long into the wind, not what you want to do this first possession for Monmouth here in the second quarter. See what they look to do. Again, not a lot of Monmouth's passing offense is necessarily vertical. They could go screen game. They could run it on the outside, even look to Cheney, who's a good receiver out of the backfield.
Hill with a little play action out of his own end zone, moving off to the pocket left. There's a flag coming out. Dump down pass for Cheney. He'll find some open space, but this is coming back, I think, a sure-fire block on Monmouth. Almost would have been a safety. Now, the recognition will be if he was in the end zone when he threw the football. Nope, the referee will take the flag and throw it from the end zone to the one-yard line. If it's thrown in the end zone while the quarterback is still there and the hold takes place there, it is a safety, but the referee throwing it out to about the one-yard line. This will be a penalty on MU. Would have been a first down, and it'll set the Hawks into a third down and pretty long situation with their own end zone in the offing.
Yeah, and that was what my concern was, Matt. The flag itself was in the end zone. I was concerned that the hold took place there, too, and then the official heads up moved it to the two-yard line. So Monmouth will get some personnel switching here, and we'll look to see what Hill wants to do. Third and very long, under 9.5 to go, first half.
Third and 12, ball back at the Hawks' three-yard line. Cheney will set himself to the right. Four wide receiver set. Ambush, Richards, Sumlin, Sterling, all into the pattern here. Hill has time from his own end zone, lets it go, finding Sterling at the 20-yard line. That'll be a first down out to the 25. Great arm strength that time by Brandon Hill, who's got some zip on the ball, no doubt about it, and finding Sterling far sideline. Big first down completion for the Hawks.
Gardner Webb that time elects the sit-back zone defense look, and Sterling found the spot between the corner and the safety. Good blocking up front allowed Brandon time to find him. You said it, big arm on him.
First and 10, another pass, this one almost intercepted. That dangerous crossing pattern almost picked off by Donald Bowie, the outside linebacker, falling incomplete, however, to set up a second and 10. Monmouth with the ball out to their own 25-yard line. 8:54 to go in the opening half. Hawks up 10-0.
You said it's scary looking developing play there as Bowie, if he would have timed it a little differently, he'd be running into the end zone right now. So Brandon, big arm play before we saw the great throw. That one, lucky to not have turned it over.
Lamar Davenport, single receiver, up top to the right. Two receivers at near sideline left. Davenport this time will give it to Cheney, and he is knocked down in the backfield. Monmouth having a hard time running the football. Aaron Cook off the edge. Cook, good player. 6'1", 218, sophomore, second in the league in tackles per game. Second in the league in tackles for loss. Hawks have an offensive lineman slow to get up. I believe it's Keith Klutz, number 73. You know, as I mentioned before, a team down in North Carolina you would think would have a lot of players down from that area, and they certainly do. North, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, a couple of players from Virginia. But every once in a while you see the occasional Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey-type player. Not a single guy from up in this part of the country on the Gardner-Webb roster, but ironically, one from Colorado, one from California, one from Australia, and one from American Samoa. So nothing up in this part of the country, but spread out with a guy here or there in some fairly remote places when you say, why don't you come to Boiling Springs, North Carolina, from Colorado Springs?
Well, and you figure, after what the running Bulldogs are experiencing today weather-wise, they may not make too many more trips up here if they don't have to with how cold it is in New Jersey. But I can imagine in Colorado it's pretty cool, too. Or at least in American Samoa and Australia, it's a bit of a flight.
It's a bit of a ride, for sure. As Klutz will kind of walk off gingerly with a little bit of help, Matt Stoneberg, number 76, will come in, take his spot at the left tackle spot. Stoneberg, 6'5", 290. From Bel Air, Maryland, has seen time in a couple of games this year and will operate now next to Reese Johnston. Johnston, the only guy on this offensive line who won't be in the mix next year for Monmouth. He's a fifth-year senior. Third down and 11 for the Hawks now with 8:35 to go. Hill gets the snap, has time, lets it go off the back foot and overthrows Sterling, incomplete, to set up fourth and long, and Ryan Moore will have to come on to punt it away.
And the last time he punted one up this way, it just kind of hung and died up in the wind. So we'll see what happens here.
Lost my water again. I don't know.
Really? I got an extra one.
I'm not sure how far it made its way down the bleachers.
It could have, at this point, it could have blown over to the softball field.
Hubbard on a fake snap. It's Morrow up the middle. He'll get it. A first down. And Morrow makes a move with a 50, 40, 35, 30. Morrow's going to go for a touchdown. Hawks pull a trick out of the bag, and MU scores. Jake Morrow taking it in 76 yards for the touchdown. And MU strikes with a special team score.
Unbelievable. 76 yards. Safe to say, Coach Callahan caught everybody, including us, by surprise with that call. What a perfect time, because no one knew it was coming. And Morrow will get his longest by far carry of his career on Senior Day, no less, and give MU a two-possession lead.
Ryan Moore did a fantastic job of selling a high snap that would have went over his head. That a big part of it. Santangelo on for the extra point. MU getting back onto the scoreboard. Now leading 17-0. How about that one out of the bag of tricks from MU? We step out with 8:14 to go in the first half. We're back with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
This is the Shore Sports Network, WOBM Lakewood Township, WADB Asbury Park. Listen online at WOBMAM.com. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
For all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the Asbury Park Press at 1-800-822-9770 or visit app.com/subscribe. Hawks would also like to thank Aramark for their continued support. Aramark, proud to be Monmouth University's official food service provider. Here about midway through the second quarter, Hawks going deep into the bag of tricks, which has been really on full display in the second part of the year. We've seen LaVon Chaney throw a couple of touchdown passes. We saw Matt Choi do it a couple of weeks ago at Liberty in that fake punt. I swear that fooled me for sure, but I was watching Ryan Moore and I was looking for the ball, which on a windy day could have trickled anywhere on the turf, and there's Jake Morrow just sprinting down the middle part of the field. Not a soul in white anywhere around him. He had a convoy set up. There was no chance he was going to get caught from the backside. I don't even know if Gardner Webb realized still that Monmouth has scored a touchdown on that.
The one guy he had to beat, Matt, was the return guy, and even he realized it late because he probably did the same thing you did. The ball could go off the side of the foot. It could, because of the wind, have blown backwards. Who knows? What a just perfect time, and a perfect not just time, but a situation. No one expects Monmouth to fake a punt deep in their own end zone into the wind, and that's exactly why Coach Callahan did it.
Hawks dominating here on the scoreboard, and statistically 137 yards to just Gardner Webb's 69. Here's Santangelo, tough chore here to kick off into the wind. As Hubbard, the deep man, I think he could move up a good solid 5 to 10 yards almost. Santangelo will hit this one from the middle part of the field at the 35-yard line. Hubbard waiting for it at the 5. This will be a squib kick up the middle, handled by the second line, and a big hit delivered up the middle. Monmouth right now playing with a great edge to their game. Dalton Cochran, backup linebacker, grabbed it around the 30-yard line and lit up pretty good around the 35. Ed Royds, Marcus Leslie, both there on the tackle.
Great energy, great passion right now out of this Monmouth University football team. 17-0 lead, and Gardner Webb has done nothing with it this quarter with the wind at their back.
Lucas Beatty back on at the quarterback spot. Shotgun snap, quick pass to the outside. Catch is made by Calais Jones, just over the 40 to around the 41-yard line, about a 6-yard pickup in front of Marcus Leslie. Second down and 4 coming up. Sullivan, Minnick, and Sikowski anchoring the linebacking core right now for MU. Aroha has moved up, almost a 4-4 type look right now for a moment. Basile, the single safety, up over the top. Low snap, Beatty. Keeps it on the ground, gives to Blunt up the middle, out to the 43-yard line. Gain of a couple. It'll be second down, and check it, third down, rather, and a 2-yard set for Gardner Webb. You know, I kind of wondered about this. Bulldogs making that trip from North Carolina to New Jersey. Tough year going on. How much motivation would they have? And right now it kind of is trickling on a downward spiral.
Yeah, conversely, Monmouth has come out and really wanted to take it to them and win this football game. You could tell by their energy level.
Swinton across the formation right to left. Here is Beatty. Dumped down pass over the middle. And it is dropped by Jones there. Alligator Arms heard some footsteps coming and setting up a fourth down situation where it will be another punt coming on for the Bulldogs.
Well, that play just, Matt, goes right to your point. Cold, tough season. Maybe you don't want to give that just slight bit of extra effort to pull that one down. You said at the Alligator Arms, he saw linebacker safeties in the vicinity, and he dropped it.
Komornik will punt for the fourth time already today. I guess if you're going to do a fake, this could be a spot for Gardner-Webb, so Monmouth maybe keep an eye on it, see if they get a taste of their own medicine. But three big offensive linemen in front of Komornik, who hits a high spiraling punt. Joe Johnson back there this time falls backwards as he receives it at the 15, where Monmouth will get it first down and 10.
Hawks up 17-0, Matt, in this one. Offense playing well, defense playing well, and you mentioned it. It's the energy that they've brought this last game of the season.
6:55 to go in the opening half. Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti, timeout taken down on the field. We will keep it here. Do we have Josh coming over for halftime, or is he going to stay in the... all of a sudden really nice confines of the press box here at Monmouth Stadium?
I'm pretty sure we'll be able to finagle getting Josh out here for his halftime interview spot. He'll take my place. We'll switch spots, and we'll get his thoughts. Obviously, he was in attendance at the Hoops game last night. He'll be there again later today. He's been joining us in that regular spot for every home game this year. We'll be able to get him out here. I'll go confirm with our good buddy from the Asbury Park Press.
You know, if you're a basketball fan and you're excited about the season being up and going and you want to come early tonight to the game, there is one that takes place before that. It's a doubleheader all weekend. Two games last night, two today, and two tomorrow as well. The game tonight tipping around 5 o'clock. That will be Bethune-Cookman squaring off against Towson. And then the early game on Sunday starting at 2 o'clock.
It's 2 o'clock start with Monmouth playing at 4:30, and that will be Bethune-Cookman taking on Central Connecticut State. And again, these matchups predetermined. It's not one of those tournaments where if you win, you play at this time, you lose, you play now. These matchups were known. And then Monmouth actually goes to the University of Maryland on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. That's the final game in the CBE Hall of Fame Classic for everyone before we board a plane and head to Dallas for SMU on Sunday.
SMU, talented team. For sure, Monmouth with another interesting non-conference schedule. It's been interesting so far here today as the Hawks lead 17-0, 6:55 to go in this opening half on a chilly day in West Long Branch. Has a feel for what it's supposed to be like in November. As this game being broadcast on American Sports Network, we've had some longer timeouts than normal. Matt Harmon and the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan, will do the final edition of the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show coming on Tuesday night, which is normal. The time and the location a bit different this week, as on the Shore Sports Network we'll have a double header of talk shows from 6 to 7 o'clock this week. The Monmouth Football Show will take place down at the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Toms River, followed up right after that by a 7-8 rendition of the Investors Bank High School Football Show. So two full hours, one Monmouth, one high school, coming on Tuesday night. Switching things around a bit this week to incorporate the day of Thanksgiving and crazy schedules for everyone. Monmouth here on 1st and 10. Brandon Hill will get it, give it to Lon Chaney up the middle, gets to the 20-yard line. For a gain there of about 5, flags coming out. Players getting involved after the play. Eric Sumlin was mixed up with Angel Guzman. Probably going to be a personal foul on Sumlin, who's coming out of the game right now. It's a dead ball personal foul on Sumlin. So a half the distance of the goal penalty wipes out what would have been 2nd and 5 now for MU and pushes them back to their own 10-yard line where it will be 2nd down and 15. Bad decision there by someone who should know better. As an older guy, it's always the second guy that gets caught. Three receiver set. Here's Hill. Goes left, goes right, comes back over the middle, finds Ambush on a crossing route. There's another penalty flag that's thrown as Ambush got a good gain out to the 21-yard line. This one, I believe, will come back for Monmouth again.
Yeah, this one for a different reason. Thrown in the area of a hold. They're even showing where the mark for it is, as we'll get the call here eventually.
Back-to-back penalties here for Monmouth. Not helping things out at all. Offside on Monmouth is the call offensively. So someone lining up over the neutral zone and will push the football back half the distance again. It'll be second down again, this time to the 5-yard line. So it's now second and 20 for the Hawks, who lead here 17-0, moving into the late stages of the second quarter. Just over 6 minutes to play here in quarter number two. 17-0 MU up top. Matt Harmon at Acapinti on the Shore Sports Network. Hill operating here from the shotgun. A step into his own end zone, and another penalty flag has been thrown. It's delay of game on Monmouth. What is happening right now?
I'll tell you, you've gotten now a personal foul penalty, a mental mistake with an offsides, and a delay of game. That's the trifecta of awful for an offense right now, and they need to figure something out. You can't get a delay of game after a penalty. It's inexcusable.
Second down now in 22 as the ball pushed back a couple of more yards. Hill now midway through his own end zone. Wants to throw. Has time. Looking over the middle has Davenport. There was some contact. Davenport angling for a call. He won't get. The ball may be ruled as non-catchable, and it will now set up third down and 22.
I don't mind the call, and I actually even like how it played out with Lamar having single coverage over the top, Matt, but just throwing a little too high, which is hard to do from your end zone through going into the win, as now Monmouth would probably be best served to just get more room for Ryan Moore at this point, let your defense continue their solid play, run a pretty safe play here with the ball inside the 5-yard line.
The rare time I will be more aggressive than you. I actually want Monmouth to try and get a first down here again. I think they could find single coverage somewhere. Hill wants to throw, again from his own end zone. Has plenty of time of which to do it. Will let it fly into the Gardner-Webb sideline. Had time, but good coverage down the field. Not really a coverage sack, but a coverage missed throw there by Brandon Hill. And Monmouth will now have to punt with not a whole lot of room for Ryan Moore to work with.
Well, and they did what you had said, and they were aggressive indeed. See, that in that area, I'm running draw, I'm running screen. I just want to get more room for Ryan Moore. Also, the longer Brandon Hill pats the ball when he's standing in the end zone, the longer a chance that a lineman could hold and you could potentially get a safety. That's why you want one of those quick hitter plays in that position.
Moore with not his normal distance. No pressure. Moore will angle this into the Gardner-Webb sideline. Not a great kick, but a tough set of circumstances, and the referee will march all the way up to the 25-yard line, where it'll be first and 10 now for Gardner-Webb. It turns out to be about a 22-yard punt.
That's why you want to... Now, if you gain him another 5-6 yards of field position, does it really dramatically affect where the Bulldogs start now? I doubt it, but they're almost guaranteed to score here on this possession, just based where they're at.
Here's Lucas Beatty back on. Gardner-Webb in scoring position for the first time today. Stepping up, wanting to throw, and gets sacked. This time it's Tyler Thompson coming off his middle linebacker spot, and Gardner-Webb going backwards, 8-yard loss to the 33-yard line. Hawks defense has looked very good here today, very aggressive, and has caused a lot of havoc in the backfield. Number 20, Bobby Clark, the senior running back from Clemens, North Carolina, has checked on here. First time we've seen him in an offensive package all day long. Two receivers set, one either way for Beatty. Here comes pressure again, dumping it down over the middle, finding his big backup tight end, Estes. Mike Estes, the 6'4 target, will make the catch. Just get three to the 30-yard line. Beatty's pass. Player is down. It's Demetrius Smith, who's in some obvious pain right now at the 40-yard line. I hate to see that from Amos, especially well, at any point, but in the last game of the season for sure. And Smith, a guy who's played so well all season long, occupying one of the two defensive tackle spots among the top tacklers in this Monmouth 4-3 alignment. Missed all of last year with a knee issue. Anytime you see a player go down, it looks to be a right leg injury. You just hope that it's nothing serious.
Yeah, and he's still down being tended to by the sports medicine staff. Now that wind is picking up a little bit here at Monmouth Stadium. Hopefully, obviously, Demetrius is okay. Part of a defense that has played very, very well this afternoon. Shutting Gardner Webb out and also making plays, forcing some turnovers. And by the way, confirmed, we'll be joined by Josh Newman begrudgingly at halftime. Told him, strap on his cold weather gear. We need you outside. The rare day that the press box here at Monmouth Stadium is the preferred course of action.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's a place to be. Who would have thought?
Kind of take back all of the things I've said about it over the years. I almost want to go apologize to it right now like a friend.
Early first quarter, Liberty leads Coastal Carolina by a score of 3-0. Quick check of the Big South scoreboard. And in the one non-league game, Georgia on top of Charleston Southern, 31-0. That game in the second quarter as well, as Demetrius Smith continued to be tended to here. 4:43 to go in the first half. 17-0 the advantage for Monmouth, trying to keep Gardner Webb out of the end zone. Bulldogs will have it third down and 15 when we get back to work. A lot of personnel, right now out around Demetrius Smith, along with Kevin Callahan, the head coach.
This week, Matt, I'm pretty sure, obviously, with the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday, I know you guys have moved around the high school football talk show, and if I'm not mistaken, you guys going double dip from Water Street this Tuesday night?
We are indeed. From 6 to 7, the Monmouth football show. 7 to 8, the Investors Bank high school football show. So we invite you to join us for that one. Should be a lot of fun down there. Two full hours of talking football, which right before Thanksgiving seems to make a whole lot of sense. Smith is up and hobbling on his left leg. No pressure on his right. Getting some help from a couple of his teammates. He's got his shoe off already on his right foot.
Yeah, not obviously going to guess. I know a lot of times when you get injured like that, they want you to keep it on to prevent swelling. So not sure, as Demetrius will be walked over to the trainer table here, and hopefully he's obviously in a lot of pain, but hopefully he's okay.
Third down and 15. Four receivers sent for Gardner Webb. Beatty under pressure again. This time will dump it down and incomplete. Intended target was Cranfill, and he got lit up pretty good by Lakeith Celestine. Had to extend up high to try and catch it. Hit as he did right in the midsection. And it'll set up now a fourth down and 15. And all of a sudden, as Gardner Webb looked like they would be on the verge of scoring after that tough punt, they right now have a fourth and 15, and they will go for it, trying to get something on the scoreboard.
And they have done absolutely nothing with the wind at their back. Credit Monmouth and what they've done defensively in this game, because the Bulldogs had it all set up for themselves here, and then Monmouth just took them right out of their game completely. It's now fourth and very long.
Three receivers set, one up top to the left. That is Kenny Cook. He's been held in check. Beatty looking away from Cook, going down the seam. He's got a man. Catch made at the 10-yard line. That'll be a first down, hauled in there by the fourth wide receiver, Jacob Henderson, the true freshman from Waxhaw, North Carolina. That will set up now Gardner Webb with a first down at the 10.
Monmouth went zone coverage there. Good time up front for Beatty, and that allowed him to step into the throw and pick up that first down on fourth and 15.
Two back set as Hubbard and Clark each occupy a spot on either side of Beatty. Here's the give inside. It'll go to Clark. He'll work his way down to around the 7-yard line. Gain of 3. Make it second and goal now with 3:40 to go in this first half. Late flag has come out.
A very late flag, and they're talking to the Monmouth captains here. Not really sure. It was obviously after the play.
This will be a personal foul against Monmouth. Darnell Leslie will get whistled for that. It will be a half the distance to the goal line penalty. I'm all right.
Yeah, all right. I'm just saying.
Go a little smoother and easier this time.
Cheers.
Cheers. A little hot chocolate. Compliments of the Colonel. Automatic first down after the personal foul. Make it first and goal now from the three. Gardner Webb knocking on the door. Beatty will come up under center for the first time today. Tight ends either way. Wing off to the left side. Beatty wants to throw. Fade pattern looking for Cook. He catches the football, but out of bounds. Pretty good coverage by Lakeith Celestine in a tough matchup. And that will now bring into a second and goal from the three. 3:24 to go in this opening half. Monmouth, if you're just joining us, a 17-0 advantage.
That's the matchup that Gardner Webb wants, is Cook on anybody one-on-one. He went up, made the catch. Obviously, he was out of bounds. But and that's the boundary side, too. So no help for Celestine. As Cook, I believe, not over there now. So he'll have to D up that side. But if you're Gardner Webb, that's the matchup you look at every single time.
Blunt as the single man in the backfield this time around. It'll be Beatty off on the left, and he will slide into the end zone for a Gardner Webb touchdown. So the running the Bulldogs on the scoreboard, 3-yard touchdown run for Lucas Beatty. And Monmouth has their lead sliced into.
Matter of time before you thought Gardner Webb would punch through. It took him almost 12 minutes here in the second quarter. But again, all 16 points in this game so far, with the extra point pending, scored going that way.
On for the extra point, Paul Schumacher, freshman from West Palm Beach, Florida. Good snap, good hold, kick is up, and it is good. The running Bulldogs get themselves on the scoreboard with 3:19 to play here in the opening half. It is Monmouth 17 and Gardner Webb 7. We step out for 30 seconds, back with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we are back here live today from Monmouth Stadium in West Long Branch, New Jersey. Quick little injury report as we saw Demetrius Smith leave the field unofficially. It looks like a right ankle. He's got a big bag of ice on the ankle, which is good news. He had had the knee issue a season ago. As the kickoff coming here from Gardner Webb. Dumas with a returnable ball from inside the 5-yard line. On the far side, hash mark gets knocked over, and the ball popped out, and Gardner Webb gets it back, but they will say Dumas was down. Oh, did Monmouth just catch a break right there?
Dumas on the return.
That was a disaster waiting to happen for Kamal Dumas, who is slow now to get up. He got rocked pretty good. Looked like he got his legs chopped out from underneath him, and as he hit the turf, the ball popped out. First down and 10 it will be for Monmouth. 3:10 to play in the opening half. Hawks up by 10, 17-7. Monmouth seemingly, at least for the foreseeable future, has lost Demetrius Smith. And right now, Kamal Dumas is being tended to on the 18-yard line.
Unfortunately, Matt, Hawks are kind of falling all over the place here, dropping left and right. You said it. Smith out. Tape on that right ankle with ice. Dumas being helped up now. Got his legs taken out from under him on the kickoff return as he's hobbling a bit and kind of holding his right shoulder. That's where he landed when they ruled that he was down. That the ball had hit and it kind of bounced off the turf. And I think when it bounced, it was right on that shoulder. And that's why he's kind of gingerly favoring his right side a bit.
So the offense coming back on here. And for Monmouth, obviously points would be great. I think at this point, you sign for wrapping this first half up and getting back into the locker room. Monmouth will receive the second half cookoff. So if you could ever get some points here and know you're getting the football back, you'd feel pretty good about it. Brandon Hill operating from the shotgun has Cheney off to his left. Three receivers left, Sterling up top to the right. Quick pass to the outside. Sumlin will catch it, come forward, and be pushed out of bounds over the 20 to around the 22-yard line. That's a gain of four to set up second and six. Was pushed out of bounds, so the clock stops with just 6 seconds gone off. 3:04 remaining. Dumas looks like he's okay. Kind of walking up and down the sideline right now. Hawks will leave Sumlin and Sterling into the game. Two receivers set off to the left side. That's the near side. Up top to the formation right, Ambush and Lamar Davenport. Hill gets the snap. Has time. Dumps it off in the flat for Cheney. Good head of steam at the 30. Weaves his way forward to the 35. That ball popped out, but Cheney was down. But, boy, you just don't want to keep giving the referees opportunities to make judgment-type decisions. It'll be a first down for MU. And another Monmouth player is down. Is it Klutz again? I just saw Matt Stoneberg come back on.
Yeah, I think it is.
Klutz, who was lost earlier in the game, has come back in. And now down yet again as Matt Stoneberg, the sophomore from Maryland, has checked back in at the left tackle spot.
And Matt, I think Monmouth running out of sports medicine personnel to tend to all of the injuries now is, I think that is the player out there. And you said it, Stoneberg ran right in to that left tackle position. Tough go of things here in the second quarter for Monmouth. Gardner Webb has scored the only touchdown this quarter, and now with Dumas back and at least moving around, potentially two Hawks out with Smith as they tend to Klutz.
No timeout taken here. Just an unofficial break with Klutz continuing to be worked on. Coming up at the halftime, we'll take you around the top 25 with a full scoreboard, both in the big games around the country, both at the FBS and FCS level. Klutz now up and will get helped off the field, walking very gingerly on his left leg. Now we'll get some help from some of his teammates to help to be helped off. Take a look at that big game in the Big South between Liberty and Coastal Carolina with a league championship and an automatic bid on the line.
Yeah, obviously no championship game in this conference with the amount of teams in it, but works out well the way the schedule shook out that the league will get their champion crowned today and a game will be decided on the field.
Stack receiver set on the left, Sterling and Sumlin. Slot receiver combo up top to the right. Now Sumlin will motion across the formation. He will get it. Jet sweep set up. Another flag down as Sumlin is knocked down to the line of scrimmage. Good pressure and sealing the edge by Donald Bowie.
Flag on the flag.
This will be, I believe, another illegal block on Monmouth.
And all flow in this game has been between injuries and flags, Matt, as we get the call from the Windy Mike. It has been gone. And now it's just a 17-7 game in which Monmouth will now be set back after that penalty.
And the first quarter had a little zip to it. This second quarter has stalled out for sure. It is an illegal block on Monmouth. We'll have the ball be marched back as the penalty is accepted to the Hawks' 21-yard line. 2:22, and now the clock will get up and moving. Hill will operate here on what will be first and 21 from the 21. Cheney in the backfield. Sterling off on the left. Trips up top to the right. Sumlin, Ambush, and Davenport. Hill wants to throw. Goes over the middle and throws behind his intended target, Eric Sumlin, in a dangerous spot. It'll fall incomplete. Azeez Higgins on the coverage.
Clock stop, 2:01 to go, second quarter. And a
second
quarter that is almost had time stand still, it seems like.
Limping by just a little bit. Cheney this time will go as the running back to the right of Brandon Hill. Again, a four wide receiver package. Cheney on the ground this time, looking for something. Good cutback against the grain. Starting left, coming right, and now Gardner Webb will wisely use a timeout on what will be third down and long for Monmouth out to the 25-yard line. MU needs to get to the 46 for a first down, so third and 21 coming. Timeout taken on the field with a minute 53 remaining here in this first half. You know, 7 points on the board for Gardner-Webb. Important. It's given them a little bit of life here. If they can force Monmouth into a punting situation here again, get the football back, and still have time to get down the field for at least a field goal attempt with the wind at their back.
And I think, Matt, what's going to end up hurting Monmouth in this game, and they lead 17-7. At the end of the first quarter, they kind of elected to not do anything. And Gardner-Webb won't do that with the wind at their back. If they get it back, and that's why they took this time out, they're going to try and do something with it and move the football into some scoring range. We also saw Ryan Moore on his last punt going into the wind, kick it 22 yards. So it's not easy, as Gardner-Webb will send all their guys back as they're going big-time umbrella coverage here.
And there's a 15-yard gap between the line of scrimmage and the next level for Gardner-Webb. So Monmouth will keep it on the ground. It's Cheney trying to bounce off and find a seam. Rolls out over the 30, gets to the 32-yard line. Timeout taken on the Gardner-Webb sideline by Carroll McCray, the second-year head coach. He's an alum of the program he now directs, graduated from Gardner-Webb in 1983. Assistant coaching stops along the way at Furman, Mississippi State, Samford, University of South Carolina, and Appalachian State. In his second year here, with an 11-12 overall mark, 7-5 last year, and looking to finish out, obviously, this year with a win. You say Gardner-Webb team that was picked fourth in the preseason poll and been unable to come away with a victory so far this year in league play.
Gardner-Webb was picked ahead of Monmouth in the preseason standings, which at this point seems like it was forever ago, and kind of weird. Obviously, the loser in this one will finish the league year without a win and will be bringing up the rear in the league standings, which will be completed today.
Ryan Moore on to punt it away. No pressure. Moore gets off pretty good kick here. Drives it into the wind, bouncing at the 30. Now we'll roll down inside the 25 and get down at the 22. Credit Ryan Moore that time. Solid effort, kind of pinning Gardner-Webb back a little bit deeper than one would have expected. And now with just 94 seconds remaining here in the second quarter, defense has one job, and that is not allow certainly a touchdown, but any points would even be that much better for Monmouth going into the locker room, knowing, again, they will get the football back at the start of the third quarter.
Can't allow a big play early. You got to keep Gardner-Webb in front of you here. Force them, if they're going to try and score here, make them do it in a couple of plays. You cannot get beat for a big play with so little time left in the first half.
Shotgun look for Beatty. Has time, dumped down pass over the middle, finds Cook. Monmouth will take that for sure, as Gardner-Webb will have to get right back to the line of scrimmage. About a 3-yard pickup to the running Bulldog 25-yard line. Four-man front here for Monmouth. They have operated in the nickel. Beatty stepping up again. Eludes the rush a couple times. Has the first down. Will run to the sideline and does well to get out of bounds. Picks up the first down. Tapped out at the 33, where it'll be first down and 10 here for Gardner-Webb. 70 seconds remaining now in this first half. Monmouth leads 17-7. Blunt the single back, two receivers either way. Hawks will again rush four. Beatty has time. Dump down pass over the middle, finding number 80. That is Jacob Henderson, who's been a good target today. Monmouth doing well to keep him in bounds. John Sikowski makes the stop. Minnick and Sikowski, the two linebackers in this 4-2-5 set for Monmouth. Over the middle, wanting Henderson again. This ball incomplete. Aroha had it sized up pretty well. Clock stops with 48 seconds remaining in this first half. It'll be third down and 6. That's a big down here for Monmouth. If they can force fourth down, you'd have to think Gardner-Webb would need to punt the football away.
Yeah, exactly. If they're able to hold here, probably go to half with this score at 17-7.
Beatty will operate from the shotgun, gets the snap. Monmouth again will rush four. Has time, going to the sideline, catches made. Stepping out of bounds was Kenny Cook. Enough to move the chains and stop the clock. Ball will be spotted at the Gardner-Webb 44-yard line. Now a race against the clock with 43 seconds remaining in this first half. Four into the pattern again. Beatty this time will have the football be dropped, wanting Seth Cranville, the tight end. It costs him a couple seconds and a down, but the clock does stop here for Gardner-Webb with 40 seconds remaining in the half.
Yeah, they'd probably rather take what happened instead of the catch, where probably another 10, 15 seconds would have came off the clock.
Have no more timeouts. Second down now and 10. 40 seconds remaining in this first half. Beatty has it. Stepping up in the pocket again. Head can run. Look to get to the sideline. Will slide in midfield and have to quickly get back to the line. Down now to 25 seconds. Beatty looking things over. Might have to, well, he can't really spike the football. It's already third down. That would set up fourth down. Monmouth looks like they might bring pressure this time around. Still rush four. Beatty rolling left. Lets it go. Has to chuck it into the sideline to stop the clock. Didn't have anybody. And with just 13 seconds remaining, it's fourth down and five. The Monmouth defense has done well in this series.
Yeah, and they held. And that's exactly what they needed to do. As they will bring on the punt team for Gardner-Webb. 12 seconds to go. If I'm them, I'm just going to heave one downfield anyway. The fact that they're punting, Monmouth catches a break. Throw it downfield, try to get a penalty, maybe a field goal.
Yeah, I would agree. You might as well take a shot at it. You've got the wind at your back. Beatty looks like he would have the arm at least to get it into the end zone. High hanging punt by Komornik will trickle out of bounds and see where it gets spotted up to. But with just 4 seconds remaining, Monmouth will come on, take a knee. And we will go ahead and take our halftime break. Hope you've been enjoying the broadcast so far here this afternoon. Final one of the regular season here, the 2014 campaign. As Monmouth leads Gardner-Webb 17-7. Hawks trying to pick up a winning season with a win here today and get the first win in league play. Knee will be taken, and the team's heading off into the locker room. 17-7, our score. We're at the break from Monmouth Stadium. Let's step out. We'll take a 2-minute timeout. We'll come back, kick things off with the scoreboard. Interview coming and a full look at stats. It's Monmouth 17, Gardner-Webb 7. You're listening to Monmouth Hawks Football on the Shore Sports in Monmouth Digital Network.